Coming up on TMS, what's that you got behind you?
Naked Russians.
Shaq likes pizza.
I'll need to search your bag, sir.
Ew. I'll just keep this huge TV then.
Major spoilers.
Trek. Look how I spelled Trek.
Yeah.
Trek,
oh, yeah, I noticed.
Trek nerd not happening, but I have things to say about Star Trek and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You are currently on a text field inside of a smart search field. To enter text in this field, type.
This is CBS. The Morning Stream. I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TMS. That is The Morning Stream for Monday, March 25th, 2019. I'm Scott. He's Brian. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Another weekend in the can. Actually, yesterday, yesterday it was a lot of weekend in the can for me. I was on the can a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. I got some bad general, what is it, colonel or general?
General
General So's.
Yeah, General So's chicken.
Yeah.
Tusso.
Yeah.
Good old General Tusso.
I was the only one that ate it, and I was the only one that had a rough day. So I think yeah. maybe that stuff was a little tainted.
And, were you the only person who ate chicken, or did other people in your household have chicken?
There was chicken, but not in that form. So there was other kinds of chicken.
Yeah.
But none in the little, whatever the hell those things are covered in. And this place is usually a reputable, you know, they make good, decent stuff. It's usually okay. Right. But I think I just caught myself a bad run or something.
But you think that they'd use the same chicken for all the dishes, you know, everybody's meals, and whether it's, unless maybe, I guess, you know, deep fried, if it's slightly undercooked chicken.
Could be that.
Then the General So's is not deep fried, so it might, you know, could be undercooked, whereas then Nick gets sesame chicken and it's deep fried, and so it gets just that extra little bit of cooking that helps out.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, Kim had beef and broccoli or something. Mm-hmm. Carter had tofu. Mm. I don't know what Nick had, but it's entirely possible that you're right, that the chicken's always the problem. What is it with chicken?
It is. Yeah. Well, it's because it's a little bit less forgiving. Like beef, you know, you can get away with rarer beef. You know, it's a delicacy, a good rare steak.
Yeah. But you don't want rare chicken.
I like the chicken rare. Just whisk it by the kitchen. Don't even let it touch the stove, and I'll take it like that. Nobody ever says that.
Yeah. You don't want rubbery, boogery chicken. It's pretty
and
bad.
Tofu, come on. I mean, seriously. Tofu.
Tofu's not going to hurt anybody. It's like eating packing peanuts or something.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
you can say a harsh word to tofu when it's suddenly overcooked.
I am happy to report I feel much better. So all is well.
Got it out
this
of your
morning.
System, whatever it was.
Whatever it was, we're good. We're done.
It's through you.
Yeah, it's through me. It passed through me. So, hey, I have the funniest story to tell you. And I've been holding on to it since Saturday morning because... Well, we didn't have a show that we could talk about it anyway, but I have been dying to tell this story because I don't know if I've ever laughed at my dog this hard since we've gotten her. This is Rainer, Jim Rainer, the female dog, and she did something so funny the other morning that I still, to this moment, think it's maybe the funniest thing she's ever done. I also feel slightly bad for her, but let me just give you this. I'll tell you the story. You decide if this is like mean for me to laugh at her for this or not. I don't know. Yeah. But she's a pretty high-strung dog, very athletic, doesn't really know it, but she could just ninja through any situation. But she's also just kind of, you know, she's very sweet and sensitive, and you have to calm her down sometimes and stuff like that. It's just her breed. So anyway, and plus she was raised in a horrible kennel situation with a bunch of mean big dogs that you know, bullied her, would take food
she
away from her.
She carried a lot of that baggage with her when you guys got her.
Yeah.
That, some of that, yeah.
For sure. She has PTSD. Whatever the dog version, PTSD. The dog. The D is for dog.
The D stands for dog. Yes.
Yeah. Post traumatic stress dog. There you go. So she's this is really good. So I get up early, relatively early every day to feed them, and it's about 6:30 in the morning, and so usually my cue is my alarm's usually gone off, but also I hear a little out there because one of them needs to pee. It's like, all right, well, let's get up and get them out of there. And they both sleep in kennels all night because they like it in there. I don't know why. They just like it. So they sleep in these two kennels. I come out. My first job, let Boomer out. Boomer goes running to the door, open the door. She goes out, does her business, comes back, and then she has food. While she's doing that, now it's Rainer's turn. I go and I open the Rainer cage, and I turn my head. So I'm not looking at this point because it's just every morning we do this.
Sure.
I routine. Turn this yeah. way, go to the door, open it up. She goes out. I turn my head and I hear this, like her little tippy tappy feet on the wood floor, normal.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then I hear this, like this total like spin out.
Okay.
And I turn around and she's kind of crumpled up on the ground with her butt to the ground, but her legs all pushed up next to her, and she's not laying, but she's just down there crunched. And
oh,
I go,
no. Okay.
I go, sweetie, what's the matter? What's the matter? And she goes, she starts to kind of get up, and then she moves barely, and then goes like this again and gets all crunched down there. And so I thought she hurt herself, like her leg got blown out or something weird happened.
Right. Well, especially after what happened to Boomer. Yeah.
I just thought, oh, no, not one of these again, not the other dog. And so I get down there, and I'm like trying to see what's going on. She won't really let me near her leg. I'm like, oh, crap. She's spun out like freaking Scooby-Doo style on the floor, and now she's hurting or whatever.
I've got to guess. Do you want me to throw out my guess, or will that interrupt the story?
Well, let me don't guess yet.
Because
the discovery is the best part.
Okay.
I'm reaching around her to try to find out what her leg's doing, and I'm kind of squeezing her leg, and everything seems fine. But then I notice what she has done is she got out of her kennel and then slipped, and the slipping made her excrete a little nugget turd about this big, about the size of a, I don't know, like a gobstopper, right?
Okay, uh-huh.
And for some reason, this thing is attached by a hair to her butt.
It's a little dingleberry.
Yeah, and it's hanging like about the length of a cherry stem. Yeah, so imagine a cherry on a stem and how that would dangle. So what's happening is anytime that thing touches her back leg or anywhere near her, she completely panics and shuts down. So it was just like, dingle, dingle, oh, dingle, dingle, oh, and she wouldn't move. So I go around there and I crank it out of there with a paper towel.
Sure.
And it's not even gross. It's just this hard kibble turd thing that popped out. And I throw it in the can, and then she's still laying there, and she won't move still. So I went and I picked her up and held her in my arms. She is, I've never heard her, felt her shake like this. Just.
Oh, really freaked out.
Oh, so freaked out. She was 100% sure.
Am I dying, Daddy?
She thought it was end times.
Is this it for me? It's not at all what I thought it was, because our dogs have gotten where they've slept weird on their legs and like basically cut off their circulation, basically had where their legs fallen asleep.
Yeah.
Like, and so Daisy will like, she'll limp and then it'll just kind of like, oh, okay, I'm fine now.
Yeah.
But it'll be like this weird like, I can't feel my leg. What's going on?
See, now I for a second thought that was maybe it too. I had all this stuff running through my head because I thought, no, yeah, Rainer, you can't be like this. You're such an active dog. This would be really bad for her. Yeah. And then realized, no, it's just like a little tap tap from a dingleberry,
a little knock knock knocking on the back door, basically.
But holding her, she's just going, just shaking, Brian, like vibrating, and she wasn't cold; it was like warm, and she's just terrified. So anyway, it's all good now.
Good,
she's fine, and I don't know if anyone learned a lesson. Probably not. I don't know how there was a hair long enough to hold that thing in place also, because she doesn't have long
right.
hair.
Sometimes they eat thread. that also doesn't help.
Yeah, it was one of Nick's hairs gotten like her food or something, because his hair right now, I don't have pictures to
Does
show.
Does he have
everybody.
Really long hair?
Oh my gosh, it's out of control. It was shorter remember when we shaved it off for Tina?
Yeah.
It was pretty long then. This is like triple that.
Just has like, he not probably not gotten a cut since
probably
he's
not.
Just letting it completely grow out?
I think you're
but
right.
But it's way curlier, if I remember correctly, right?
Very curly, very not tight curls, but like just lots of
wavy.
And ringlets, that sort of thing. I used to have that too in S's age if I grew it out. But mine was a mullet. His is much more. I don't know what the hairstyles are called today, but it's you'd look at it and go, oh, that's something a kid would have today. But it actually suits him pretty well, and he goes, they like it at work. They're like, yeah, we like your hair. Keep your hair like that. which is weird. Usually you're like, get a haircut, you dumb kid. But
yeah, no, I think with some kids, Tristan had this for a while, whereas he had his hair a little bit longer. It's like, oh, dude, that looks really good right now. Mm-hmm. But he's got it cut short again.
Shut Cordigan. Adventures of Shut Cordigan.
But he's got it cut short, and it looks really good, too. So we just picked him up from the Greyhound station. He went down to visit his girlfriend in Arizona.
Oh, Greyhound, eh? Oh, I haven't been on one of those
Greyhound
in a while.
He does the bus, man. I don't know why. I mean, flying is more expensive. I think that's part of it, but... Geez Louise, at some point you got to realize your time is worth money, you know? And mm-hmm. and 12 hours on a bus versus an hour on a plane, at some point you got to say, you know what, I think it's worth it just to get there and be done.
How often does he go see her?
Every like 3 or 4 months.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just save up for the plane ticket. It's not going to be
save
that much
up for
more.
The plane ticket. Yeah, but you know, pretty soon she's going to be coming up here. Mm. He's moving back in with us for a little while the apartment situation gets straightened out. So this weekend will be the return of Tristan. Mm. So no more walking around the house and nothing.
Yeah, Kat came back the very next day.
That's right, exactly.
So when he but are they like serious? Are they a number? Are they serious?
They're oh yeah, they're serious. I mean, the plan is that this summer she will actually move up here, and the two of them will probably get an apartment, maybe with another friend or another couple friends.
Yeah, they're gonna be,
because that goes well, right?
Oh like, yeah, the, always
the roommate situation where there's a boyfriend, girlfriend, and then somebody else, or two other people, or two. Oh, heaven forbid it's two couples, because then it's right. Like the slightest penny on the train tracks mm-hmm. causes a major derailment.
Yeah, then you end up like that Thumper and was it Thumper and Ashton Kutcher in the same room together with?
Oh
a
yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
You don't want
yeah.
that. Just to right. just to bring up a recent film sack. So hold on though. Do you think he'll pop the question? Do you think he'll whip out some kind of ring and go some kind of hipster ring though? Right when he gets from like a vending machine just because
right,
it's a joke.
Right, exactly. No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think there's any hurry for him. He's even said that before that yeah, I'm in no hurry to get married. And probably every dude has said that at some point and then turned around 2 weeks later. So this is the one. I finally met the one. I'm totally gonna propose. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know. I feel like he's going to stick to his guns and just be kind of like, yeah, I'm not in any hurry to get married and I'm not ready and all that.
So. That's good, though. Good for him for knowing where he's at and what he needs to do, and it's all good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I still think that's it is an awkward roommate situation, though, when you got a couple in there and then you got mm-hmm. some schmo. Yeah. Or even two schmoes, you know.
Or two schmoes, yeah. Right, exactly.
You got one schmo on the shitter, you got another one in the kitchen making macaroni and cheese. And you're just like, right. Oh, my gosh. It's actually probably good because this will test their relationship. This would test their resolve.
For sure. Yes.
Because exactly. How else are you going to know, you know, if under duress you can still keep it together? This is how you do it. Yeah.
Yep. No, it I've been in the situation where I was dating somebody. We had an apartment and we had a third friend of mine who lived with us, and that did tend to cause problems because there's always that like it doesn't feel like an equal partnership split three ways, right? It's right. Like, oh no, you two will always vote together, you will be a voting block. It's like the it's like the reality show Alliance. It's like, oh no, you're gonna basically be two votes that all point to the same thing, no matter what that is.
Yeah, there's no democracy in the three, like three of you. There's no democracy. You're done.
No, not when there's not when two of you are in an alliance.
No, and even if you're not,
right?
Three is a terrible democracy. Think about that.
Yeah, but three. You know what though? Three can be company, Scott.
That's true. And all you got to worry about is the ropers or
Mr. Furley.
Furley yeah. Looking in the window, going, "Gosh, Andy." Staring at you while you're doing whatever.
Three roommates where there's an equality and no one's in a relationship or anything like that works, because then you don't have a stalemate. You've got like, all right, well, let's, you know, what do we want to do for dinner night? I don't know. I want pizza. Oh, I want chicken. How about you? I want chicken. All right, good. We're getting chicken because mm-hmm. it's 2-1.
Yeah, if you don't have the relationship going, it's pretty good, because then you can just, hey, I'm bringing a girl over tonight. We're going to play Xbox. All right, fine. I'll be I'm going to the bar with Bill here. You know, like there's just
right, exactly.
there's then ways the to deal with it.
Off and do something.
Exactly. But the other two are always you're always together.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I wish him luck in his pursuit. I think he'll he'll meet it.
Hey, last night I went and saw some comedy. Scott, I went and saw some live comedy.
That explains this photo on Twitter where you just say hi and then there's some weird backdrop I couldn't make sense of.
Oh no, that was
what was
Saturday
that?
Night.
Oh.
That is if you look really closely, so that was this long hallway in an area of Denver, downtown Denver, really cool area called the Dairy Block. Used to be where one of the big dairies was, and they've converted one of those buildings into a massive restaurant-y place called the Milk Market. And it's a bunch of like, here's an Italian place, and here's a place where you can get Korean barbecue, and then over here is fish and seafood, you know, like fried fish, fish and chips, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. It's really nice. Anyway, this long hallway on the Dairy Block has this mirror that stretches on the ceiling. And so I basically was like, oh, check that out. And I did that and took a picture. So if you zoom in, you'll actually
you
see
down
me
there. Okay.
Doing the picture thing. And then Tina kind of smiling to my right.
Yeah. No, I see you now. At first it didn't, yeah. I couldn't make sense of the way, I mean, it just seemed like, what
I know.
Is this?
No, it's a weird, it turned out to be a very cool kind of weird abstract, photo, and I really liked it. Was like, oh, I'm totally posting this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
look at that.
But that was Saturday night. No, last night we went to the Paramount Theater
yeah.
for the second Sunday in a row. Last Sunday was John Cusack. This Sunday was Sebastian Maniscalco.
That's not a real name. Who's that?
It's a real name, man. It's a real name. It's this comedy guy, comedian. I guess they call him comedians now, not comedy guys. He's got a big special on Netflix, a couple of them. He is he's been on Jerry Seinfeld's writing Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, stuff like that.
Oh, I know this guy. Okay.
This guy's huge. This guy's super huge.
Very
right
popular,
now.
Yeah.
This is his moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, actually, he was a really good show. He's a very so he's an Italian guy, Chicago Italian, grew up in Arlington Heights, and is a very physical comic, not quite to the degree of like a Robin Williams or a Carrot Top, but he's like, he's, you know, demonstrating what people be like, you know, that sort of thing. Comedy go to people be like,
Yeah, he's very, he also dresses to the nines. Like he's a,
he does. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what made me think of this last night is that, when you and I were growing up, we had Eddie Murphy, we had Andrew Dice Clay, we had these guys who I would consider to be kind of rock star comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, not just the fact that some of them did music, but the fact that it was like they'd pull in almost like a concert crowd for their concert stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I love John Mulaney, would not call him a rock star comic.
No.
You know,
Norm McDonald's not a rock star. He's more of a subtle, comic. All those guys are way more subtle and.
Yes.
Quiet and yeah, all that.
But this guy, it's okay. Dude is a rock star comedian, and
yeah.
he was really, really good. But it was kind of cool. I was so the Paramount Theater. It's funny. It's got you've got your base floor. I don't know what they call that, the mezzanine or the first floor, whatever they call that, and then you've got a balcony up above.
And oh right, yeah.
When we were last week at the John Cusack thing, we were like, ah, these seats are so damn narrow. Even Tina's like, yeah, it's skinnier than airplane seats and shoulder to shoulder with people. The balcony is kind of the opposite problem. Seats are a lot more comfortable, a little bit wider, but your leg room is garbage. Like basically just sitting there with my legs in front of me, my knees were pressed into the back of the seat in front of me.
Was someone in the seat in front of you? Or,
no, fortunately not, because if they would have leaned back, they would have, you know, they basically would have been on my knee, on, you know, like resting their head on my knee.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we didn't have anybody to the left of us. So once the house lights went down, my aunt and uncle slid over one seat, and George and I both, because we both had the same problem, we both basically just like reached, like try to yank our legs through this gap made by our left leg and the seat behind us and pulled our other leg, our right legs, on top of our left legs to kind of cross them for the entire show.
Wow.
But it was super uncomfortable, super jammed tight in there.
Nice. That's what you
but
want.
But anyway, really, really good show. Speaking of good shows, I promised a little mini review. We went and saw Us.
That's Friday right. Night. You did see Us. What'd you think
of
it?
Jordan Peele deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked it.
Oh.
I enjoyed it a lot. It hangs on a couple weird M. Night Shyamalan style, I don't want to say hand wavy, but I want to say, like, you've got a conceit that you've really got to just kind of say, okay, I accept that. Let's move on.
Okay.
Because so much of the third act kind of hinges on that conceit. I think the acting was fantastic. Lupita Nyong'o, man, holy cow, she was amazing in this. Yeah. And the kids were really good.
Well, yeah, I keep hearing the kids are fantastic.
You got Elizabeth Moss in there, who's also really good. And boy, you know, between this and Handmaid's Tale, just bad things happen when Elizabeth Moss is dressed in red. It just doesn't, it's just a bad, bad time for her.
I didn't know she was in that until you just now said that. I had no idea.
Oh, really? Because she's in the previews.
Yeah, I missed that somehow. I've seen the previews a couple of times, and maybe it just didn't click with me that I was looking at Elizabeth Moss for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
At one point in the preview, she's like, oh, I think it's already vodka 30 or vodka o'clock or something like that. Anyway.
Are you not quite to the brave level that I keep hearing everybody saying? Like, it's the
I'm not at the rave level. I think it's really, really good. And I think I might have even liked it better than Get Out. I really liked Get Out. Mm-hmm. But it you've just kind of gotta go with a premise that sets up the big surprise of the film.
Yeah.
There's just a premise that you kind of have to say, okay, all right, that I guess I can believe. Okay. And then the next thing.
All right. I mean, they are playing on that old horror trope of doppelgangers are scary, right? That's the whole idea.
Yes. Yes. The whole thing is that doppelgangers are freaky, especially it's like, oh my gosh, these people look like us. Ah, they're freaky. Mm. And they're bloody and they're standing there in red jumpsuits and freaking me out. But it also will remind you of a thing that that people our age will have forgotten about completely since the mid-80s.
and I won't say
what that is.
Will I know what that is after I see it? Will I figure it out?
Okay. You'll know what it is. Yeah, you'll know what it is. I think it's one of the first things you see in the film is a reference to this.
All right, I'm in then. I don't know if you saw how many raves freaking Shazam is getting.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that with Schleicher today, but man, that movie apparently is good.
I know. Tina's going back to New Mexico this weekend. I think I'm going to go see Shazam, Shazam, Shazam over the weekend when she's gone.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Go Sunday. Yeah.
Well,
I don't think she cares about that.
No, she doesn't care. But she's traveling a lot more, isn't she, than she used to?
Well, she's just going once a month. It just happens to be that she went late in March and is going early in April.
I think it also says that I have a funny perception of time right now.
Like, well, it might be that, too.
The fact that you and I are on a Monday now. This is a Monday again somehow.
Right.
What the hell is that? I swear we just had one.
How is this possible, Scott?
Yeah. How is it possible that 7 days has passed and it feels like two to me? I don't know.
Well, and it's the Monday we've been waiting for to find out about that fruit company in Cupertino and how they're going to change the landscape of television forever.
Oh, is that today? They're doing that? Yeah. I thought that was. I guess that is today. Okay,
that's today.
We'll see what they're
Right after our show.
I have a lot of theories about it that are not traditional, but we'll see if I'm right about any of them. All right, for some fun. Not that this hasn't been fun. This has been very fun, what we've done so far.
Whatever. No, I know. Now I get it. I see what you're saying.
It's been really, really fun. However.
It's been said, Scott. It can't be unsaid now. That bell is rung. And now I know how you truly feel, and I'll be in my corner.
All right. Go to your trailer. It's your trailer. There you go. we're going to get Dunaway in here, and we're going to get it on, if you know what I'm saying. And we're going to do it with this theme. ¶¶ Hey, it's time for Babel Royale with our good friend Brian Dunaway, who's on the line right now. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hello. It's so good to have you.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh yeah, you're.
I'm still high from our sacking this past weekend. I enjoyed that.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah,
enjoyed that. You do different things to prepare than we do. I don't get high to do film sack. I don't know what this is.
That's your, you know.
You got. Do you have a good source down there for good weed? Like, how are you getting high these days?
No, we can't do that here.
Oh, that's not legal?
I got high on with some Mountain Dew Code Red and some Doritos.
Mm. Nice. Hey, is Lindsey Graham your senator? Do I have that right?
He's not my senator.
I was waiting for that. That's exactly how I was expecting that.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember if it was North or South. It's South Carolina, isn't it?
No, he is from South Carolina. He is in the South Carolina.
All right, not your senator. Love it.
He's not
president. Look.
He's an elected official.
I'm not going to say that I'm not against like any specific things that Lindsey Graham does, other than just exist, because he just always seems like he's I don't know.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know all about it. Game involves more than just us three. It involves a fourth. Yeah. And that fourth person is someone who has called the line and has been waiting patiently. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
They don't want to tell us, Scott. They want to keep it a secret.
Dang it. Is this happening again? What happened last time? Didn't I have this problem and I had to start it over again? What was it?
I can't remember.
Frick. All right. You know what? Whoever that was, hopefully it'll be the one that calls in, because I have to reboot it. For some reason, I have to run that call thing twice, and it doesn't make any damn sense as to why. So hold on one second. We'll get you hooked up here. Hold on to your butts. Okay.
Keep them butts held on to.
Held on to your butts. All right, we'll give this another shot. Chrome has this really funky thing with Hangouts sometimes. Okay, here we go. Now you can call it in. And I'm ready to take your call, whoever that was, and we'll get you hooked up again. Well, anyway, yes, to your point, Brian Dunaway, our episode we did about
the Dark Crystal.
The Dark Crystal was fantastic. I enjoyed the hell out of that.
The Dark Crystal Method.
Yeah, the Dark Crystal Method. Hey, now they're on the line. Hi, who's this?
This is Greg from Boston. How are we doing, guys?
Hello, Greg from Boston. We're doing fantastic. How's Boston these days?
Oh, it's actually getting warmer. Getting ready for PAX East this week.
Oh, yeah, it's this week. And sometimes you guys get horrible weather during PAX, so it's nice to hear that.
It's going to be nice and 60 degrees every day.
Oh, it's so good, especially for a sweaty bunch of gamers, man. That's awesome. Well,
we get pretty sweaty.
We hope you have a fantastic time there and today on Babel Royale, where you can win prizes by playing a little game with us. Brian, you're going to explain these rules to our Bostonian. Go for it.
Well, we're going to have a wicked good time here. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer or repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with the answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Your job is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for carryover prizes from last week. Sproggy Wood, Hot Tin Roof, The Cat That Wore a Fedora Deluxe, Girls Like Robots, plus a physical pile of prizes from Scott. Today, we are adding to the prize pack some physical prizes from me. A pair of albums from Mike DeCleva, who was an Indie in the Middle artist that we played here on the show a couple weeks ago and to rave reviews. And if you want it, you don't have to take it, but if you want it, you get my Weight Watchers journal that I got last week that I just don't know what else I'm going to do with.
Nice. It's empty, right?
I will take it because I just started in January and I lost 42 pounds.
Jeez,
that's awesome. Oh, nice. Okay, well, then there you go. You'll get some good use out of this. Well done, man. Congrats.
Jeez, that's a lot of pounds.
Thanks. Yeah.
But you only get this
Vegas.
If you win.
I think I took yours. I think you sent it to me.
Those 42 pounds.
Yeah,
no
kidding. All right. That's awesome. Well, that's a big hell of a bunch of prizes there, Brian. What's our topic?
Right. Your topic today comes from Ray Robinson. Listener Ray Robinson, who said that, all right, well, the 64 crayon count might be too big a box to go through, but the 24-color box of Crayola crayons is a pretty good one to try and figure out. Sure, there might be some obvious ones in there, but I think there might be a few that trip you up. So I want you guys to name what's in the iconic 24 Crayola crayon box.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
I heard Dunaway grunt in derision there for a second. I have no idea, so this is going to be interesting. All right. Who do you think is going to get that right, and who do you think is going to, or no, who's going to start?
I think I'm going to go with Scott for the win, and Brian makes me laugh every time I hear him, so he can go first.
All right. Aw.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's a very nice thing.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, I'll go with, so this is the 24 count?
The 24 12. Count box of Crayola.
We couldn't afford the 24. We only got the 12. So anyway, I do remember coloring a Big Bird with lots of yellow when I was a child. So I'm going to go with yellow. With
just straight yellow.
Good old straight yellow.
Yeah.
Yes. Straight yellow, just plain old yellow, is one of the colors in the box. Very good.
I was gonna say wallet first, but then I said, that's what Scott answered last week and lost him.
I'm trying to remember. So. I'm trying to think of the best strategy here, because I think eating up the normals would be a good idea, because I am actually kind of familiar with a bunch of the others. Not all. I don't think all of them. Okay. Not even close. But I think that's my strategy. So I'm just gonna throw out red.
Red, sure. Classic.
Okay.
There is one that is just called Red in the box.
All right.
Red.
He wished that was the last time he saw Andy Dufresne. Well, not that kind of red. Different kind of red. Okay.
Well, when I wasn't coloring Big Bird, I was over here coloring Oscar the Grouch with the green.
Green, indeed, is another color that is represented in the box. Basically, we've probably got like eight that we're going to go through first, and then things
right,
are going
to right. Pretty quick, yeah. Pretty quick. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. All right, Scott, back to you.
Because I can't get it out of my head, I'm going to stick. Well, I'm going to use one that's a little bit strange, but I'm still in the red vein. So we're going to go with red vein. I'm going to go with brick red.
Ooh.
Tell me brick red's in there.
Ooh. No, there is not. What? 24 bucks, Scott. Ooh.
How is that possible?
Why would you go so specific so early on?
Why would you go with something
like
blue, like brown?
Oh my gosh.
Blue for Cookie Monster.
Yeah, no brick red in the no brick red in the 24. Here are the ones you could have said.
Shit.
You could have said blue, brown, black, violet or purple, I would have accepted. Orange. And then you get into the weird ones. Carnation pink, red orange, yellow orange, yellow green, blue violet, red violet, white. Well, white's not that weird. Apricot, dandelion, green yellow, violet red, scarlet, cerulean, indigo, and gray.
Really? Brick red's not in that brick red exists, right? I'm not wrong that exists.
Brick red is in the 64. There's definitely a brick red in the 64.
Is there also a macaroni and cheese, or do I remember that wrong? In the bigger set.
That might be one of the newer ones that they've added.
Now, was it the 128 box, or was it the 64 box? Was it 64 or 68?
64, wasn't it?
64, yeah.
Which one had the crayon sharpener in the back?
That was the 64.
Oh.
Had the little flip-top lid and then the sharpener in the back.
Yeah, that never worked.
Dang it, dude. Ah, I hate this. All right, here's what I'm going to say about all of this. All right. So, did you say, contestant, you're coming to Vegas in April? Did you say that?
I am. Yes.
All right. Do me a favor, because I suck today, man. This really blows. Here's what I want you to do.
I still love you, Scott.
Send me an email, scott@frogpants.com. I got a little something for you. I'm not saying I'm going to do this for every loser. I just have a little something for him. He's making a trek out here. He's going to PAX this weekend. Clearly a man passionate about his passions. And 41 pounds down. Like, all this stuff is... I owe him something for my shitty performance today.
Sure.
So, scott@frogpants.com.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and CC me, coverville@gmail.com, with your mailing address. Regardless, I'm still sending you the journal, the Weight Watchers.
Oh, yeah. He should get that no matter what. Yeah. Yeah. See, look at that. Scott sucks. You win. Well done. Congratulations. Man, Dunaway. What the frick, dude? I was sure I was going to...
Brick red. What the hell?
That was nice.
I thought what I was doing was getting the reds out of my head.
Like, right. I was going Sesame Street. That was my strategy. Once I got out of the primary colors, I was going to be in trouble.
My kids had the, I guess I got Brown them the
Snuffleupagus.
One big one to share. The girls had one in the 90s that was like a big shareable one. It was probably the 64, and those are probably the colors I'm thinking of. But I was sure they
had. That's the one that had your raw umber.
Yeah.
And your burnt sienna.
Yeah. All the ones that you never think of. And also,
and your old racist box that said flesh that only applied to white people.
Yes, exactly.
Probably had goldenrod in there. Probably.
Yeah, goldenrod was in there. Yeah.
Goldenrod. What else? My least favorite 007 movie, Goldenrod.
Goldenrod.
I remember there being a Piggy Pink in there.
Piggy Pink.
Because I thought that was funny. But yeah, well done, Dunaway. Just staying close to the thing made you win today. I'm impressed. Oh, I forgot to play this for the guy.
By the way. Oh, no.
Yes, Brian. Yes.
Wes Words was the guy who got called in first and couldn't hear you, or you couldn't hear him.
Oh.
Because of the technical issues.
Yeah.
So maybe we shoot for Wes Words on Wednesday.
That'll be fine. We can arrange that to be a lock.
Figure out a way
to
arrange that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how. Maybe Discord. That might work.
There you go.
You know what? Ping me in Discord, and I'll add you up, and we'll get you going. That'll be good.
Cool. There you go.
Great answer to that. All right, Dunaway, I hope you have a great day, and congratulations on making me look like a toad. We'll see you later.
You're a toad. Bye. Hey.
Well, that was it. we are. He was probably going to say Boop Show today. Yes, we're doing the Boop Show today. So that's happening at 3:30 Mountain Time.
Cool.
Where are we now? Oh, yeah.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by.
For the last year, Cosmic Crit has been taking you on a sci-fi adventure through the worlds of the Starfinder RPG. And they're back with Season 2. Brand new characters, brand new enemies, a brand new journey starting from level 1. You can find out more and check out our first season at CosmicCrit.com, which is on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are downloaded.
That sounds all right. I like
a little Cosmic Crit.
Yeah, a little pen and paper in the sci-fi genre. Good times.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
The heck do you mean? Kid, check this out. A naked Russian man tried to board a plane. He claimed to be more aerodynamic, and that was why he was doing it.
Too much hassle to put clothes on.
Much more aerodynamic this way.
Aerodynamic. Air can flow through bits and parts without any sort of resistance.
The wind goes round man boobs that I have. Naked man attempted to board a plane in Moscow's Domodedovo Airport. I don't know how to say that.
I don't know. It seemed like the best way. Domodedovo.
Domodedovo. While shouting that clothes make him less aerodynamic, according to the Ren TV television. He was yelling it as loud as he could.
Yes. The man, if you'd like to get shot, just shout in an airport while naked.
Yeah. That isn't going to raise any hackles or any alarms. You'll be fine.
Right.
The man passed through the Ural Airlines flight. A Ural is a must be.
It's a mountain range and an airline.
All right, it's a tube connected to your bladder and your pain.
And just the fact that they begin that sentence with "the man passed through the Ural."
The Ural, yeah, something's wrong there. Anyway, he got through registration before suddenly ripping off his clothes and running stark naked onto the jet bridge. This is according to eyewitnesses. He shouted that he was naked because clothes impairs the aerodynamics of the body. He flies with more agility when undressed, quoted a fellow passenger saying, the nude intruder.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
I love that name, the nude intruder.
Because he's getting nude all up in here.
All up in this place. How's that guy doing? Has he still got his 15 minutes of fame, or is he
I'm
done?
Sure he is, yeah. Thanks to the Schmo Yoho guys, or whatever they're called. The
Schmo Yoho.
Well, that's their name. The brothers.
It's not Schmo Yoho, is it? It's something else.
It's Schmo.
Hold on.
It's the Songify the News guys.
Songify. Schmo. Gets what this says.
The Gregory brothers, but there's.
Oh, well, you're right. Schmo Yoho.
Okay. All right then.
Is that right? S-C-H-M-O Yoho. Yeah, you're right. Brian's right.
Schmo Yoho.
Yeah, Brian's totally right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations. I always thought it was said different. I knew it was a weird name, but I screwed that up. Anyway, hey, check this out. There's a video.
The naked Russian guy?
Yeah, well, they apprehended the dude. He was taken to the airport's medical room. You will go to medical room. He was hospitalized in a medical facility. The offender is a native Yakutsk. However you say that, but lives in Moscow. The press service of the Interior Ministry said the video has been released of the man after police detention, handcuffed on the floor and still very naked. Eyewitnesses,
I think there was a GoldenEye 64 level that took place in Yakutsk.
Oh my gosh, I played that game so much.
It was
ridiculous. Let's see. I don't think it holds up, by the way. I saw some recent video and I went, ooh.
Yeah.
It was the best we had, but rough stuff. All right, so this picture, I just want to look at this real quick.
Is there video or?
Let's see. It says video, but I never did go to the link to find it.
Oh, jeez.
It might just be up. Oh, there he is. Oh, jeez. What's wrong with his knees? Is that from getting taken down?
It might have been, man. He might have gotten some rug burns during takedown on the jet bridge.
Yeah. Look at those knees. That's gnarly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there he is. He says, let's see. Is there video? Oh, there is video. All right, here you go. Oh, let's see how that happens here. I don't know if this is Russian or what. Oh, I don't have any audio. Ah, crap.
Oh, it looks like it's eyewitness.
It's just audio, isn't it?
Yeah. We heard from listener on smartphone device who told us what incident was like.
The Russians. They're the best. All right, how about this story? Here's one for you. Shaquille O'Neal, you remember him? He was a...
Yeah. Some people call him Shaq.
Yeah. Most famous for his Shaq Fu video game on the Genesis.
Is that what we're going to say he's most famous for?
Yep. Not known for his incredible basketball career.
Or anything like that. He's best known for Shaq Fu.
Shaq Fu and Steel, the movie Steel.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, one of our first post-Christopher Reeve DC movies.
Plus, wasn't he a genie in something? Am I thinking of that wrong?
Kazam.
It was Kazam.
Which most people have the Mandela effect and think it was Sinbad who was in Kazam.
Right, and I've never had that. That's one that I've never shared with anybody.
That's a Mandela effect that you're not part of.
Mm-mm. I knew it was Shaquille O'Neal from the beginning. But anyway, he's joining the board of what do you call that? The board over there at Papa John's. The embattled pizza joint.
Wow, which is interesting because of the whole racial thing. So
They kicked that dude. So founder John, whatever his name is, kicked out.
Papa Giorgio, I don't know. What
couple, yeah, couple times got booted, right?
Papa Racio,
Papa Racist. He got booted out, and now Shaquille O'Neal is on the board of directors, becoming the first African American member of the board months after its founder resigned following his use of a racial slur. The NBA Hall of Famer will be a triple threat, he says, on CNBC's Squawk on the Street. That's a show?
I guess.
Can I tune in to Squawk on the Street?
Sure.
Okay.
Is it a guy just walking around with a bird costume and the microphone, walking up to people? Yeah. What's your take on Shaquille O'Neal?
What's your hot take? Give us your hot take. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is, but I don't like it. Let's see. I'll bet this is what that guy sounds like. You want to hear what I think he sounds like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
hold on. I think I have a clip right here. This is your Squawk on the Street guy. Here he is.
Oh yeah.
I think that might be him.
Well, that'd be a guy in a Charmander onesie.
Oh, that's true. Good point. And that show would be called what? Pocket Man Go. No, I have no idea what to call it. I don't know what to call that show. But I'd watch
today on Boodle Deedle Doo.
Yeah, Boodle Deedle Doo with your host, Justin Robert Young. let's see. Along with joining the board of directors, he also is investing in 9 Papa John's franchise spots in Atlanta, becoming an ambassador, whatever that means. Everybody loves pizza, and pizza loves everyone, says O'Neal. Pizza is fun, he continued. Everyone knows Shaquille O'Neal, and they know I'm in the fun business, and we want to get this thing back on track, he says. Awesome. O'Neal owns various restaurants already. He has Krispy Kreme donuts franchises in Atlanta, Big Chicken Fast Casual Fried Chicken in Las Vegas. We should go there.
We should. Never heard of it, but we should go there.
Let's go to Shaquille O'Neal's Big Chicken.
Big Chicken.
And he has a Shaquille's restaurant just called Shaquille's in Los Angeles. He previously owned 27 Five Guys franchises. Boy, he is into his food franchises.
No kidding. 27.5 guys.
Yeah.
I got to do the math on that one. That's 135 guys.
Yeah. That's a lot of guys. This gets us a real sausage fest in there. It's his first time as a board member for a public company, though. Papa John's will pay him $8.25 million over 3 years. Well, I'd take that. That'd be all right.
Yeah.
The four-time NBA champion told the CNBC host he contacted Papa John's and was always wanted to be a franchisee. Steve Ritchie, Papa John's CEO, said the initial talks were to diversify the franchise brand and then morphed based on his aptitude and skills. Quote, Shaq is obviously bringing the fun, the relevance, the vibrancy to the quality story. What? I don't like that. That's dumb.
No. And I guess I was going to check and see if Peyton Manning was still involved, but I guess last year with the whole Papa John or with John, he said, "Nah, I think I'm done. Sorry, goodbye."
He's out. He didn't want to do that anymore.
Did not want to be involved with that. So,
what was I going to say about? I forgot. Oh, Shaquille and Rick Fox. Remember Rick Fox played for the Lakers also?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
They both own which esports company is it? Chat room, someone will remember, but they own like an Overwatch team.
Oh, really?
They own they own teams for multiple games like League of Legends and Dota 2.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Wow.
Can't remember the name. Shoot. But anyway, he's got his hands in all kinds of, because he's all about the Echo Fox. That's it. Echo Fox is the name of the thing.
Echo Fox.
So if you ever see an esports event and one of the teams is an Echo Fox team, you'd be like, oh, yeah.
That's Shaquille's team.
Yeah, and I think Rick Fox might be more involved than Shaquille in that side of it, but it's still a bunch of his money.
Anyway. By the way, Scott.
Yeah.
Speaking of esports.
Uh-huh.
Can I just say that we are exactly 1 month away from Overpants?
Holy shite! 1 month
away from Overpants, Scott.
Oh, my gosh. 1 month and about a month and 6 hours away from the start of our tournament.
That's right, yes.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Are you coming to Vegas? No, there's still some tickets. Go to, where is it? VivaTMSVegas.com. There's a link to all you need, and we'll get you in there. It's going to be a blast.
You can still get rooms at the plaza, but you can't get them in our room block. So it is officially the 30-day countdown.
So, yeah, this is happening. It's going to be great, and we're so excited about that. And we're going to, we don't exactly know how it's going to, we won't really know until we're there, but I think this is going to look like, at least to the people who watch the stream and to people there live, it's going to look like a straight up event.
It's going to look like a regular Overwatch tournament, except with a couple of doofuses who don't know what they're doing, going to be doing commentary, doofus.
Well, at the very least. There'll be a switching around. Like, both of us are planning on playing, but when we're not playing, Brian and I are doing commentary.
We'll be doing the commentary
together, exactly. And maybe we'll never have it so one of us is, it'll never be neither of us on the stage unless both our teams win.
Unless your team and my team go to the very top, which I don't see happening.
But, and if that happens, we'll have somebody who really doesn't understand the game, like Justin Robert Young. He'll step in with Tom or something and.
I can't imagine he'd do any worse than me. The lady with the sniper rifle, the purple lady, she's going to shoot the dude with the big shield. Oh, no. Oh, he's down. That might be play of the event or whatever they call it.
Yeah. You'd be like, what's his name in Best in Show? He doesn't really know what he was talking about.
That is really what I'm going for, is the Fred Willard Best in Show kind of thing.
I like that.
That's 100% what I'm doing.
Yeah. You can pretty much guarantee... Well, Schwid's not coming, chat room, but I can guarantee that we'll have a combination of voices you will enjoy.
Yeah,
and it will all have it will have all the frills of a proper tournament.
Like, right, big screen with showing the battles going on up there, lights. They told us right at the get go that we're getting the fog machine.
Mm. Are we getting the fog machine? Really?
There will be a fog machine in use for part of this event. I don't know how it's going to be in use, but we will be getting the fog machine.
I am all in on the fog machine, man. And lights, they'll have crazy lights, and they'll zoom in on us at the commentary desk, and we'll probably have headsets on going, well, that was a hell of a match there, Bill. Like, we're going to have so much fun. It's going to be
a blast.
Yeah.
And for those of you signed up for Overpants, I'm planning on having teams figured out today or tomorrow. So so stick around for that, and that way you guys can start practicing with your team.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. Justin reached for comment. He says,
"Yeah, boy."
All right, great. He's all in.
That's about right. Mm-hmm. That's about accurate.
Final. Let's do this one. And it's another Russian story. Let's do this.
Okay, sure.
A drugged orangutan. You know, the big brown smart sure. monkeys are the yeah. ones that are always
the
smart.
Ones that right turn Clyde.
I didn't think I wasn't even thinking of that, but that is absolutely right. He's the smart. He's the Dr. Zaius of monkeys. Of
he is apes. The Dr. Exactly. Yes.
Was found in a Russian airline luggage. Some more Russian tomfoolery going on.
Wow.
Need to get monkey across all of Siberia. What do I do? Jam it in luggage.
Does monkey go in overhead compartment or under seat in front of me?
Does he act as flotation device if plane goes down?
I mean, it's horrible that this guy like drugged this.
I know, I do feel a little bit bad about the orangutan, but it's pretty funny. A Russian tourist funny. Attempting to smuggle a drugged orangutan out of Indonesia in his suitcase bring home and keep as a pet has been arrested in Bali. Andrea Zygdetskov.
Sure.
Was detained in Denpasar airport late on Friday while passing through a security screening before planning a flight back to Russia. Suspicious officer, meaning they weren't, the officers weren't suspicious. I mean, they were feeling suspicious, but they themselves were not the suspicious ones. Does that make sense? Like, I yes. won't, is that sentence right or am I reading it wrong? Suspicious they officers.
They did not, neither took nor left suspicion.
Like, if I said, oh, those suspicious teenagers, you'd think I was suspicious. Saying, yeah, they're suspicious yeah. of the guy and his luggage.
Yes.
But it reads, right. it could read either way.
I know. It almost needs to be like a mentor and mentee kind of situation, right? Suspicious?
Yeah, the
suspicious.
Yeah, or they should say the officers were suspicious of the man and his luggage. Maybe that would be sure, a better way to yes. do it. Anyway, to find they opened it up and found a 2-year-old male orangutan sleeping inside the rattan basket. We believe the orangutan was fed allergy pills, which caused him to sleep. We found the pills inside the suitcase, according to the Bali Conservation Agency official. Zedkoff, or however you say his name, seemed prepared. He was like he was transporting a baby. He's like my own child. He's like my own baby. I changed his diaper. He's nice monkey.
He's a good monkey.
He's good monkey. Yes. Look at him. He's good. 27-year-old.
Please do return your orangutan to an upright position.
The brown ones, they are smarter than the black ones. That sounds racist. Anyway, the 27-year-old packed baby formula and blankets with it as well, so he was planning on feeding it. Police also found 2 live geckos and 5 lizards in the suitcase. Jeez, bury the headline.
My favorite rap group, 2 live geckos.
and 5 lizards only when they tour. It's the only time you get to see the 5 lizards. Anyway, Zetstakov told authorities he the protected species was a gift by his friend, another Russian, of course, who bought the primate for $3,000 from a street market in Java. Man, that's not that much money for an orangutan. I'm just saying. Like, yeah. Brian, it's illegal. They're a protected species, so we're not allowed to do this. But if somebody said to you, if it was illegal and someone said, hey, I got this orangutan for $3,000, that's a yeah. steal.
That is a steal. That feels like a real bargain. If you can, you just got to really, you know, it's got to be useful. He's got to do some stuff around the house. It can't just be a pet.
Yeah.
Because he's just going to sit there and scratch his butt and watch Maury Povich all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Throw poo at you. Yeah. Exactly. No. I need some work done.
Yeah. Have him, I don't know, what job would I give an orangutan? Probably, I don't know, like clean the car, vacuum it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Get under the furniture with that vacuum, by the way. Use those big long arms to mm-hmm. like lift the couch and get under there with the Dyson.
Yeah. And never remember that you could kill me with one finger. Just never remember that.
Right. Exactly.
He has been, let's see, the Russian could face up to 5 years in prison and $7,000 US in fines for smuggling. So there you go.
Wow.
We'll take a break there. When we come back, major spoilers. And no Trek nerd, he's on his way to the dentist with his son, but I have a review of my watching of the first 2.5 episodes of Star Trek Discovery Season 2.
Season 2? Ooh,
so I'm Scott. Finally there. We'll get real specific or anything, but I do have a thought or two. So we'll share that after the break. Right. And we got a little mashup later. Jamie's even out of town, and we still have a mashup somehow. I don't. He's insane.
That's because he's just so good at what he does.
He's a dedicated individual. Mm-hmm. All of that and more coming right up. But before that, a musical break.
That's right. Michael Miller from Colorado Springs wrote in and said, "Hey, Brian, I stumbled on a group called Chair Model. Heard one of their songs on Shameless. I hunted them down on YouTube and Facebook and found that they don't get much of a following, which stinks because I think they're really good. I figure TMS can get them a little exposure." He also forwarded me an email that he had with the band where they say, "Yes, you can play our music on the show. Thank you so much." This is really good. This is like... this is right up my alley as far as that kind of 80s synth pop, but 60s influence. I don't know. I really like it. Now, here's what you're going to like, Scott. Number one, they're from Oklahoma City. Mm. That's not the part that I think you're going to like. But but their members are Joe White III, Abby Road. Mm. Her name is Abby Road. And Taylor Johnson.
Whoa!
They have a member named Taylor Johnson.
Moonlighting and didn't tell her parents.
Mm. I know. Just a little secret right there. Mm. So this is the band Chair Model from their album, their self-titled album from last year, 2018. Here's the song, That's Me.
All right. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The results are in. Cats have made Tidy Cat 3 America's number one cat box filler.
Nothing beats a Stouffer's pizza.
This is the morning stream. That's some sweet weed, man.
Mm-hmm. back, everybody. welcome back to the show. Oh, by the way, quick song comment.
Sure. Is this about Friday's track, Scott?
Yeah, I'm an idiot. On the PM edition of the show on Friday, I even said right before it, hey, last week I goofed up and forgot to put it in. There's something about the PM structure that I just, it makes me feel like I forget. I don't know, I just forget. It's weird. Yeah. I don't know why. I never forget on The Daily Show where we have two songs.
I know. It is funny.
I just somehow passed it up. And so right after saying, oh, I won't let that happen again, I literally let it happen again. So I went back and fixed it, by the way. So if you're all willing to download another 65 gig of data, the song is now on the one that's on the feed and is all refreshed and running well. So.
And you should do so because it's really good. It's the Zimmer's Lust for Life. So one of the world's oldest bands in members, most of whom have passed away, just because of life.
Well, yeah, no, life comes at you, dude. It comes at you. Yeah,
it totally does. Anyway, sure. So it's JC Kelson. Did you say 65 gigabytes of show? I think it's probably only 65 megs.
Yeah, I said gig and then corrected myself and said meg. So okay, I don't know. Good. He must have not heard the correction, but yes, I corrected it.
So, there you go. So yeah. Anyway, go check it out. It's a great song. Lust for Life, Iggy Pop, covered by a bunch of old people.
Catch it. All right, let's do this. Let's do this right here. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Oh, only one stanza of the beep, beep. So that means, I'm so not ready. Okay, here we go.
Steven.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Steven Schleicher, all the way from majorspoilers.com and the beautiful surroundings of Hayes, Kansas. Welcome back, sir.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Hello.
It's good to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you and I have a little bit of a secret happening today.
Yeah, that's what I was writing down. I had to write a memo. Don't forget to do this.
Yeah.
And that's why the song went too long. So sorry.
So let's just say this. Today, you know, we're just going to go ahead and tell people.
We'll all be pushing up our glasses and saying, actually.
Well, we'll just tell people. It's fine. Today, you will get the first of what will now become a monthly kind of news and commentary roundup about the comic book world with the relaunch of Comic Dorks.
Comic wow. Dorks.
Cool. Go to comicdorks.com and they can get all resubbed if you ever abandon it, or if you still have it in your readers, it'll show right up in the feed. But starting today, Steven and I are going to crank that stuff out. And the big question on people's lips, hey, we ever going to see Mark again? We ever going to see Scott Kurtz again? Possibly, I don't know. But our plan here is a regular monthly breakdown. We dig deep into the whole comic stuff. Steven has ridiculous amounts of knowledge in this regard, and I just feel like it's a shame that we haven't figured out a way to carry that on, and so we're going to do that. So
yeah, a little bit of a different format instead of going through and doing reviews and that kind of stuff. Just going to run through a lot of the big stories that happened from the month.
Right, right. And if one of us has seen, you know, did you see Shazam yet or no?
No, but a lot of people did.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that from that angle. If one of us had seen it, of course, we'd give our own thoughts. But, you know, like a lot of it's going to be, well, this was the month they canceled such and such title or whatever. Very comic-centric, lots of cool stuff, and we're excited about it. So that's today. And we're not doing it live. We're just going to do it off-air, like Film Sack, for those who are wondering what that's like. But it will be up today, and it will be third Monday of the month, or however we do this, I guess.
And it's safe to start with just two dorks before you try and pull in all the dorks.
Yeah, so I agree.
Like this idea.
Yeah, we don't want to be pulling our dorks.
You know, nobody wants to be yanking on their dork and all that. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm very much excited about it. And, you know, what the kind of vibe we have with Steven on Mondays here on the show is indicative of a lot of what you're going to get. And I think more of that is a good thing. So check it out. That'll be later today, comicdorks.com. All right, Steven, let's get into it. I can't believe there are 1,000 issues of Detective Comics. How is that even possible?
Well, so for a long time, Detective Comics, which launched on this month, March 27th in 37, mm-hmm. Was one of the longest continually running nonstop comic books out there. Until DC launched the new 52, and then they created Volume 2, and they ran 50-plus issues there. And then as we approached the 1,000th issue about a year ago, they flipped back to the old numbering. So some people will say, well, this isn't actually issue number 1000, but for all intents and purposes, it is. And that's a huge milestone. Action Comics was the last comic to hit 1,000 issues, and that was last year. And so I think that's a pretty big deal. And of course, they've got a couple of different versions of the Detective Comics 1000. A lot of people during the Action Comics number 1000 got kind of confused because there was like this big 80-page kind of retrospective on Superman. And they were like, where's the story? And it's like, well, that wasn't really the issue. So you want to make sure that you're getting the actual Detective Comics number 1000 and not the 80th anniversary edition or whatever that is also going to be coming out this week, because Saturday is Batman's birthday.
Oh, my gosh. 80 years old Batman's going to be. Crazy.
80 years old.
I didn't get him anything. Shoot.
What do you
That's
get?
That's okay. He already has everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you going to get the guy
who's
everything?
The guy who's got everything in a cave in his basement
or around his,
a giant penny.
Around his belt. I'm surprised they were able to suss this out, though, because aren't there a lot of weird one-offs? Like, how do they know it's 1,000 exactly? Because there's so many, like...
Well, and that's what I said. The nice thing is Detective Comics actually ran issue 1, issue 2, issue 3 since its beginning. So it's been uninterrupted. So they're not counting, like, Batman Family, or they're not talking about Robin issues or Nightwing or anything like that. This is just Detective Comics. And there are some times where Detective Comics went twice monthly in some cases. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the only place where there is a break in that numbering is when they launched the new 52 and started over from number one with the Detective Comics.
Yeah. So if he's 80, is this right around Kingdom Come time for him? Like, how old is he supposed to be in Kingdom Come? Do we know?
Gregory Peck's age.
Oh, so like more like 70s, probably.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Gregory Peck's age when Kingdom Come came out, or Gregory
I don't know.
Peck's
it's,
age?
It's Alex Ross painted Gregory Peck to be the older Bruce Wayne in that Batman? Series.
It totally looked like Gregory Peck, too. Huh. Totally did. I just always think about that when these comics actually reach those ages. It's like, oh, wait a minute. That's Kingdom Come time. Like, we're there. Mm-hmm. And that's a great book, and people should read it.
It is really good. Beautiful covers on that one.
Oh
too.
My gosh, the covers are so good, and if you like Alex Ross, you like that painterly approach to comics, it's like the end all be all of that sort of thing. But I know some people don't like it. Stephen, I never asked you, where do you land on the whole Alex Ross look?
I like a lot of Alex Ross's stuff. I think the biggest problem, I guess one of the nicest things about Alex Ross when he was doing Marvels with Kurt Busiek, and when he did Kingdom Come with Mark Waid, was that he took like real life people and painted them into the roles. So, you know, Patrick Stewart looked like Professor X decades before the X-Men movie even came out.
Right.
And then you had who was the guy that was the father, Fred McMurray, as Shazam for the Kingdom Come stuff. And that's really good, except it becomes a distraction when you're looking through going, okay, how many references can I find and how many real people are being used in this? Yeah. Otherwise, I really like his stuff.
Man, Fred McMurray mentioned, ask your grandparents on that guy.
Oh, man. And that's the weird thing. I mean, with Shazam coming up this weekend, I think it's this weekend, right? Or is it next weekend?
Yeah.
Next weekend. The original model for Shazam was Fred McMurray.
Really?
Of My Three Sons fame.
Really?
What the crap?
Yeah.
All right.
Na, 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 na.
And I know people are saying, well, wait, My Three Sons came out long after Shazam came out. Go back and look at young Fred McMurray and look and see what a handsome devil he was and how they would take that hair and that eye line and everything.
Sure.
And turn him into Shazam.
Maybe it's not so weird then to have Zachary Levi in this role. Because people think of Zachary Levi as comedy and goofy face and, you know, not tough, Mr. Tough superhero man. And from all accounts, he's pulling it off. I mean, we'll dig into this deeper later today, but Shazam did real well. The reviews are up in the 90s. Like,
The lowest review that I saw was a B- from AV Club.
Wow. Wow. I guess, and I can't see it this weekend because it doesn't come out until the 5th, April 5th.
Yeah, the 5th. Now, there were some, AMC, I think it was AMC, or maybe it was Fandango, I forget which one. They were running a thing where you could actually see the movie 2 weeks early, and some of our fans actually did get to go see the movie before everyone else.
And what's the general
Thumbs up. I mean, like I said, when you look at it, Vox gave it a 4.5. The Hollywood Reporter said that this is a definitely a little bit for older viewers, but a return to comedy. I've seen other reviews say DC finally gets how to do a movie. The Rotten Tomato meter tomatometer or whatever it's called. It's got, what, a 92%?
Tomatometer.
Yeah. Who knows how you're supposed to say that? I'm looking here. 92%. Like you said, opens this weekend. Or no, last weekend. So it opened over the weekend.
Yeah.
It says coming soon on Rotten
Tomatoes. Well, that's because they get a limited release.
Oh.
Last week, and the wide release comes out on April 5th or whatever it
is. Well, our very own Tom Merritt saw it and couldn't shut up about it. He thought it was awesome.
Ooh. Yeah,
we had a big chat over text, and he was like, dude, that movie's great. And
I'm
like,
who bought that?
I don't remember who bought that in the thing. Do you remember, Brian? Who owns that?
I don't. I'm pulling it up right now, the draft. There it is.
I mean... Chat room says the
hope you've enjoyed this draft.
Yeah. Chat room says Shazam trailer just looked plain goofy. I mean, there's definitely a goofy quality to it, but isn't that part of the charm here?
Imagine if you were a kid. I complained about this whenever the first trailer dropped. I was like, oh, this is going to be big all over again. Mm-hmm. But this is now big done right.
Oh, Night Attack has them, do they?
Yep.
Those bastards. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
All right.
Oh yeah!
So I think Goofy may be right for those people that liked, what was that spy show that Zachary Levi was in?
Chuck.
For people who like that, I think they're going to like this movie.
He looks so different than he used to look. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because he had all that
wearing
hair.
That bulky suit underneath.
Yeah, or something. It seems like there was something about his old. He just had more hair, and he was. I know he's younger. And wasn't as buffed out. I don't know. Something about it always makes me think he's not even the same actor.
I know. He totally. It is a complete 180 degree change.
Yeah. How about Digimon Hansu? He's in this. Digimon, I call him. I know that's wrong. But he's the wizard, you know?
The wizard Shazam?
Yeah. The Shazam wizard is played by Digimon Hansu. That's not how you say his name, but I like saying it that way. We just saw him in his first movie. What was it? Oh, Stargate. It's his first, first. I think it was before. Yeah, it was before that Spielberg
and it was when
thing.
He was just going by Digimon. Like he wasn't even using his full name. He was just.
It was It was.
It was when he was Digimon Go.
Yeah. He was just chucking cards and entertaining kids. It was a good time. All right. What else? Cobra Kai season 2. That's happening.
Yeah, they. I guess they dropped the official release date at C2E2 this past weekend. That's the Comics and Convention Expo in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We can look forward to April 24th on the YouTube Premium. So if you haven't gotten that thing, I have signed up for that a long time ago, mainly because I hate watching commercials ahead of my YouTube videos, and I watch a lot of YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. But you can get all sorts of extra stuff, and that first season of Cobra Kai was really good, especially for fans of the original series.
Mm. I'm looking at the, let's see here.
The audio is really bad on that video that I sent you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like they didn't mic them up. They're standing 20 feet away from the camera in a busy expo hall.
That's a thing people do now these days. Like, as I noticed, the Bill and Ted thing was just them announcing a thing on this phone. It's like, all right, sure. I guess that's fine.
We're filming this on a phone, but you're supposed to believe we're actually going to get a feature film made.
Yeah, and you got him back there doing his whole Ted thing, but Bill's not acting like Bill at all. It's odd. It's very odd. Okay, so I want to see. I haven't seen the season or the first season.
Oh, you've got to watch it.
I know. I suck. Here is so. It used to be YouTube Red. Now it's YouTube Premium. Is that the deal? Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez, Google.
Much better name.
Could they just pick names and stick with them? They do this all the time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but YouTube Red did sound like a porn site. Like it sounded like.
It did a little bit. Like Red Light District. Like, hey.
Exactly.
Yeah, welcome to Red Root YouTube Hubba, Red.
Hubba. YouTube Red.
After Dark. All right, Steven, that's about all there is for reporting today. Of course, we have a whole month of content to talk about later today on Comic Dorks. I'm very much looking forward to that. And love his expertise as we move forward with bringing that show back to people. And again, it's monthly. It feels more like a proper comic book show because you get your comic books once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get your comic dorks once a month. See?
Exactly.
That's how it is. Anything else going on around the major spoilers network you'd like people to know about?
No, we did record our 500th episode of Critical Hit this past week, and it'll come out in April. But we hit another milestone, too. So there you go.
500. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's
going to
be a lot of fun.
You should have Dick Cheese perform for your concert.
No, you shouldn't.
No, I'm sorry. Brian, I have it backwards. Brian would like to the world. Don't hire Dick Cheese for your 500 concert. Maybe today is different. Maybe it's better today. Maybe he's like, hey, cameras are cool, and I'm into the internet now.
Yeah, he probably has to. I mean, I think he does have to kind of accept that cameras are going to be in his face, and that's a good thing.
And that everyone has one in their pocket. Like,
exactly. This is how people find out about things is via social media? Okay, I guess I'm all right with it now.
Fantastic. So do check that out. Check out all the other great shows.
Tell your friends to start posting on my Wikipedia again.
Find all that and more, plus some great articles, some great reviews from the entire staff over there at Major Spoilers, majorspoilers.com, Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, have a fantastic day, and we'll see you later.
Stay hydrated.
Bye now. Boy, I had that stay. It was like one of those Trump
lingering
things where he goes,
stay,
and then lets it out. All right, I'm exiting this. All right, hey, that's it for that. Okay, I do want to say something about Star Trek, if you'll have me.
Yes, of course. I'm excited to hear what you think of the second season. I'm trying to remember how it started.
Let's see.
With the whole Pike thing, yes.
Yes.
Show me this unit.
All right, we're going to show you this unit. I started Star Trek Discovery Season 2, and I'd seen Season 1 and enjoyed it quite a bit. I think it had some weird rough spots that made no sense to me, but you could tell that there was some turmoil at the top. People running the show left, and then new people came on, and then they left. And like it was clear in the show that there hadn't quite been a unified vision yet, or however you want to describe that. Man, I'm only 2.5 episodes in, but Season 2 already... a better season and really good Star Trek. Like, it's Trekkie as hell. It's one of those shows, though, that I'm shocked at how good the effects and the world building is, to the point that you don't notice it. It doesn't jump out like normal for TV special effects do. These are like movie quality, high end, like that asteroid race in the first episode. Mm-hmm. Holy freaking crap. Like, the movies don't do any better than that. It's amazing stuff.
No, they've got money behind it, and it shows. And,
clearly do. Yeah, it's great. But I really, really like it. I think Pike, when I was originally, you know, told, oh, they're bringing over Pike and the Enterprise is there and all that, I'm like, oh, that's a nice stunt you're pulling on us. Just fan, you know, fan hand-wavy stuff. It's not. He's so good. Like,
and it's done with, yeah, he's very Bruce Greenwood. Like, he's taking over the mantle, I think, from Bruce Greenwood from the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, as far as like a very likable, fatherly kind of character.
Mm-hmm. And he's very, you know, he's got a little bit of snark, a little Kirk in him, but a little Picard even, just a, kind of a more of a smart approach to every situation. And I'm completely in on him being a captain of whatever ship I'm on. Like, I think he's awesome. And, I haven't gotten to see a hipster adult barista Spock yet. That Spock? Hasn't happened yet, but I think I'm close. And
I think you are.
But I just really like it. It's a nice reminder that Saru is and Jones's portrayal of that character is just some of the best stuff ever. Like, it's
great,
man. Tilly's so good this season. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. She should be obnoxious and annoying in anything on paper. I don't want that dialogue. I don't want her, and I don't want her approach. That actress just nails it so good that I want her in every scene. She's so good. And I like that we're getting to know the rest of this bridge crew better than we have before.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad they killed off that idiot that came over with Pike early. That was... spoiler. Sorry, spoiler. But it's not a big spoiler. You knew the guy was fodder the second you saw him. You're just okay, that guy's not going to be long for this world. But it's just great, and I'm super impressed, and I can't wait to dig through the rest of it. And I just am happy to say that I feel like they've hit their stride, and it's that's a strong show right now. So it took me forever.
Really, but you can Battlestar Galactica your Trek and end up with something really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this one is a little less of that. Like, it feels a little more... The positivity of Trek is back in a way. It's like they were fighting a war in the last one. Sure. The last one was a war, and war means this, and you got to do things with war you don't want to do, and there's a lot of hidden stuff happening and secrets being passed around. And this one, it's like, no, there's a truce, we have an armistice, so now we can move forward. And it's very Star Trek. It's like, weird anomaly, let's check it out. We need to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's a moral authority to Starfleet again that it just it feels like I'm back home in Star Trek, and I really like it. So, thanks, Star Trek. Cool. You did it.
They done good with you.
They done did good.
They done did good.
All right, before we blow out of here, I do have a mashup to play today. This is called, let's see, this is 1671 through 1675. It's called It's a Horrible Life. And
good deal.
I don't know what that means because I haven't heard this yet, but here it comes from Jamie over there at patreon.com/TMS mashups. Check it out. Here you go.
Ah, she's a nice bird.
Ah, I met a nice bird over the weekend.
Look at that nice bird over there.
I think you've gone full Australian, but that's fine.
Jordan, and your bird can sing.
I'm going to let him talk now. You didn't let him last time. Oi, hello. It's me, Philip.
Hot poker in your anus, or?
I guess I carried a bigger one then. I wonder what the bigger one is.
Jamie, can I get that cut out? I want to hear Randy say, I carried a bigger one.
Yeah, he carried a bigger one.
It wasn't me. Him in the kitchen.
It wasn't me.
Him in the bathroom.
It wasn't me.
Him in the shower.
It wasn't me.
I was always pulling those out and pushing it back in.
Jamie, I want that one too.
Why are people still sucking my toes?
That reamer has a hole in it.
That reamer has a hole in it. Also, isolate that audio. You're going to show off your E-peen. Show it off. Whip out your E-peen and show it. Yeah, yes. There's a bag of shit I can eat.
I love bread. I was just in the uterus and Vladimir says hi. He'll see you in 8 months.
We are going to go to the store. Please take the trash out before we get home.
How's your boner? Is it big enough?
Sarge
Ben-Hayan. Used bizarre forms
Sarge,
of...
Would you like a lemon twist in your cappuccino?
It's a horrible life. Fuck you, Bedford Falls Sanitarium. Fuck you, Bedford Falls Diner. Hey, Clarence, take your wings and shove them up your ass.
A little film sack in there at the end. Wasn't it? That was film sack.
That's a good... That was film sack. Yeah, that was a little butterfly effect intro.
Yeah, that was a good one. Nice one, Jamie. Yes. Jeez, you saved a good one for the thing. Scott plays special creative cursing. What?
That's another mashup.
All right, we're saving that one.
I imagine Mark Knopfler will make an appearance in that one.
And his penis, probably.
Yes.
All right, well, we've done it. Why is Dan on my screen? Oh, he's in the... Sorry. That freaked me out.
Happy to paste in a photo to show how light. It just looks like he's live, like he's been sitting here the whole time watching us.
That's what I was thinking, because it's just in the corner of my screen. I'm like, Dan's there. Anyway, all right. We're done. That's it. Patreon.com/TMS. Please support us. We'd love it. And if you're looking for everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. We'll be back tomorrow. Full day of content. And later today, of course, the next live thing I do is TMS PM at 3:30. And you're going to want to check that out. And Kim and I are trying. Everybody felt like garbage yesterday, so we didn't do Skim. But we may sneak it in today.
It was you felt like garbage.
It was
Scott.
Mostly
you
me. Carter's got con flu from GDC.
Did she Purell, or did she just shake a lot of hands and hug a lot of fans?
Hugged a lot of hands. No, shook a lot of hands. She hugged Terpster, which I think was probably the problem.
Oh, never mind. That's it. That's the one thing. And there's no Purell on Earth that can... that can kill that bacteria.
Nope. Brought it all the way from Bristol. Who knows how she got it, but she has definitely got it. She's home from work today, sick as a dog, so that's fun. Anyway, that's it. Let's get out of here. Shant, you play a song for us, please?
I will play a song from a guy named Patrick, who says, Scott and Brian, Monday, March 25th, will mark the 4th anniversary of the passing of my dad. Oh. When I was in this band 10 years ago, one of his favorite songs we played was a cover of Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash. Every time he would mention his son was in a band, being a proud parent, he wanted to share his son's work, and this was the song he always would pass around. The ironic bit is that this was never actually released, though it was recorded at the same time as our full-length album, which was called Rock and Roll Child, released in 2010. We decided to keep it for ourselves due to being young and unaware of how covers could legally function in an otherwise original album. It would mean a lot to me if you would play this for him. Thank you guys for all that you do. Signed, Patrick. Aww. So this is a band called High Tolerance, no longer around. Recorded this for their album Rock and Roll Child in 2010, but never released it as part of that album. And I think it's a missed opportunity on their part. This is a great cover. They do some things with Folsom Prison Blues that I haven't heard before in a cover, so I really, really like it. And changes things up about, 30 seconds in, so keep listening. Here is High Tolerance and their cover of Johnny Cash's Folsom Prison Blues.
Baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy. Don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Folks sitting in a fancy dining car, they're probably drinking coffee and smoking on cigars. But I knew I had it coming. I knew I could be free. But those rich folks keep on moving, and that's what tortures me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Can you smell it?